This is Radio Energy News.
Good afternoon and welcome to Radio Energy News. You're listening to the news at 4. I'm your presenter Gemma Stroyan and here are your headlines for today's programme. As the current stormy weather reflects the continued Brexit deal turbulence across the country, Scottish Parliament has today been assessing the country's readiness for what's to come. A local man is sentenced today at Edinburgh High Court to life in prison for the murder of his fiancée. And following news earlier this week of an apartment block in London's Chelsea being operated by over 100 prostitutes, debate has been raised over sex work premises. But what actually happens behind the blacked-out windows of Edinburgh's sex industry? And how safe is it for the women who work there? Reporter Carly Bell investigates.
Despite these less than salubrious places being the cause of much local gossip and a contesting issue for the police, the council and the government, we are going to step inside one of Edinburgh's commercial sex venues and see for ourselves what it's like inside a brothel.
We'll have more from that story later. The Scottish Parliament has today been assessing how prepared the country is for Brexit. This comes after the Bank of England warned that English businesses are set to suffer. Our correspondent Becca Ingalls has more.
The Scottish Government's European Committee sat down today to discuss Scotland's preparedness for Brexit, whatever form it might take. Following a call for evidence from organisations across the country, a cross-party group of MSPs spent the day assessing Brexit's impact on Scotland so far and what future support is needed for businesses. They received evidence from a range of bodies across Scotland's business sectors, including the General Medical Council, Culture Counts, University Scotland and the National Farmers Union Scotland. Anthony Salamone, Research Fellow and Strategic Advisor at the Scottish Centre on European Relations, says that an unknown future has had a chilling effect on Scotland's businesses so far.
At the moment, it's really a question of the uncertainty. So that means that the firms both within Scotland and within the rest of the UK, indeed in Europe, are putting off investing because they're uncertain what the framework will be after March of 2019. There's also uncertainty in terms of labour force, because obviously EU migrants are a particularly important part of the Scottish economy, and particularly if there's a no deal Brexit, free movement would end rapidly and dramatically, and that would have an impact across a wide range of sectors. And it's important that to note that it affects both so-called high-skilled and so-called low-skilled forms of employment.
Looking forwards, the committee asked participating organisations to give their views on how the different potential Brexits, including the prospect of a no-deal Brexit, would affect their industry. Maury Clark, a PhD candidate in economics at the University of Edinburgh, says that while there are some potential positives for Scotland's economy, the drop of the pound could have negative consequences.
The thing about the Scottish economy, it's very public sector based, far more so than the English economy. So anything in terms of government policy, fiscal policy, government cutbacks to programmes will hit Scotland harder. I think on a tourist based economy, with the Edinburgh Fringe, things like the pound will drop, so we might see things like tourism increase. But in terms of exporting, importing businesses, which again is a lot of the UK, prices will rise, which will hit businesses quite hard.
The committee presented the evidence that was shown to them this afternoon in Parliament.
Today, the High Court in Edinburgh found a 25-year-old man guilty of murder following the death of his fiancée, Hannah Dorans. Our reporter Carly Bell has more on this story.
A 25-year-old man has been sentenced to prison today for murdering his ex-fiancée. Fraser Neal was ordered to serve at least 19 years in jail following the killing of 21-year-old Hannah Dorans at a flat in Hutchinson Road in February last year. High Court Judge Lady Scott said that the evidence showed that Neal was possessive and controlling and had bombarded his victim with an avalanche of texts and calls following their breakup. According to the defence counsel, Neal had a great difficulty coming to terms with the breakdown of his relations with Miss Doran and in the early stages made some kind of attempt on his own life. The court also heard how Mr. Neal had also got in contact with the parents of the victim whilst he was out on bail in a bid to help arrange her funeral. Detective Inspector Stuart Alexander of Police Scotland's Major Investigations team said, "This conviction will not compensate in any way for their loss, but hopefully it will give them a degree of comfort that justice has been done."
A journalist from the national newspaper was denied access to Theresa May's press conference near Glasgow on Wednesday. The Scottish paper responded with a headline reading, "This is where we would have reported on Theresa May's visit to Scotland." Kirstine Patterson, journalist from the National, said,
"We were left off the list, and when we queried that, we were told that simply there was no space to enable the National to go along. We were omitted while other similar newspapers were given that access, and that's not acceptable. We have had certainly support from across the political spectrum. We should have the same access as the other titles have, the other media outlets have.
This controversial decision broke as the Prime Minister was on a brief visit to Scotland for a meeting at Bridge of Weir near Glasgow. SNP MSP Stuart McMillan said that this was outrageous.
Quite frankly, I believe it's outrageous that the Prime Minister would actually seek to actually exclude any newspaper from a press event just because she doesn't actually like their political editorial line. And it's been quite obvious for some time that any time the Prime Minister actually comes to Scotland, she comes to a location that's not publicly available, and also it's a hand-picked audience who actually are there as well.
So it seemed the Prime Minister failed to shed any further light for Scots, but did succeed in ruffling some feathers. Glasgow joins the band of cities preventing further threats of HIV. Glasgow City Council have today agreed to sign the city up to the Fast Track Cities Initiative, a global partnership which aims to prevent new transmissions of HIV by 2030. Our reporter Morven McIntyre explains more.
Glasgow will strive to deliver the UN's HIV targets, which are that 90% of people living with HIV know their status, to have 90% of people with HIV on treatment, and have 90% of those people on treatment to have lowered levels of the virus. The initiative includes increasing testing of populations deemed vulnerable to HIV, increasing the distribution of contraception, and to raise awareness and reduce stigma at a local level. I spoke to Grant Sudgeon, the chief executive of Waverley Care, a charity funded by the Scottish Government to deliver HIV care and support in Scotland. Grant commented on Glasgow's initiative.
It's going to bring a whole range of organisations, including ourselves, together to, you know, really work to end new cases of HIV in Glasgow. And by 2030, I think it's ambitious, but I think it's achievable. We know what works. You know, we have PrEP. We know that treatment works. We know that regular testing makes a huge difference, but we also know there's so much more still to do.
You're still listening to Radio Energy News. The time is now 9 minutes past four. An eye-opening report into the concerns of young women and girls living in Scotland was released today. The largest survey of its kind in the UK interviewed 540 young women and girls aged between 7 to 25. Our correspondent, Roisin Kilroy, discusses the issue.
Girl Guiding Scotland released the results to their Girls in Scotland survey today. The study highlights the issues faced by girls and young women in the country by asking questions about sex and consent, body issues, career opportunities, and balancing work with family life. According to the results, one in three girls aged between 13 to 25 have experienced sexual harassment in their community. 77% of girls aged 12 to 25 feel like they are treated differently because they're female, and 78% of girls learn little to nothing about consent in personal and social education. Susie McGuinness, a spokesperson for Girl Guiding Scotland, has said that this study helps show the need for more education around sex and consent for girls.
Well, one of the other really frightening stats that came out of this was that 37% of 13 to 25-year-olds know someone their age who's experienced rape or sexual assault, which is obviously really scary. That's like over a third. And so when you look at that in comparison with how much girls are hearing about that sort of thing in school, it's obviously really worrying.
Emily Beaver, Senior Development Officer for YouthLink Scotland, a national agency for youth work that champion young people and their contribution to society, said that while they welcome the results and the communication that will help drive change, we still have a long way to go.
Our members certainly have been talking a lot about personal and social education and improving that within Scotland. So it's really great to see that this survey highlighted the really urgent need to do that and make sure it's really holistic and covers not just sex and relationships, but healthy relationships and sexual harassment, gender equality, consent, all of those key issues that we've wanted to be raised for a long time.
And now for sports, over to Andrea Triunfo.
Edinburgh Caledonian football team play in Division 1 of the Sunday Morning League. Leading the league by winning 7 out of 8 games so far and having advanced to the quarterfinals in the Scottish Sunday Trophy, they're due to play Edinburgh City this Sunday. Edinburgh Caledonians manager Andrew Moffat revealed how important this game is.
It's a really big game this weekend because it's a Scottish Cup match and Scottish Sunday Trophy. It's also the last 32, so you know there's over 160 or so teams in Scotland that obviously try to win this trophy, try to get as far as they can in the competition. We've got to the last 32 last season, so if we can get a result this weekend, then that'll be a record for the club in its 12 or so years of history.
And finally, earlier this week, an apartment block in London was exposed as a hub of prostitution. This opened the discussion around places known to be used for selling sex. Here in Edinburgh, we have a very visible selection of saunas, and our reporter Carly Bell went out to see what life is like in one of the many sex work venues in Edinburgh, as well as what leads the workers down this route of work.
Hidden behind blacked out windows across the capital sits a common sight in the city's streets, brothels. Unlike much of the rest of Scotland, these venues are seemingly allowed to operate despite the Sexual Offences Act of 1956, making it an offence to run a brothel which people attend for the purposes of engaging in prostitution. These premises operated freely across the city until 2013, when Police Scotland initiated raids against the city's commercial sex venues. Following these raids, they referred the businesses to the council to review their adult entertainment licences and arrested managers for keeping and living off immoral earnings. Here's Ruth Maguire, an SNP MSP, detailing the Scottish Government's view on sex work.
The Scottish Government is clear that commercial sexual exploitation is a form of violence against women.
The charges levied against managers in the review into the licences was all dropped following threats of the saunas publishing a list of high-profile clients and the surfacing of an agreement made between the council, the police and NHS Scotland, which was signed in 1982. The agreement was made during the AIDS crisis and aimed to prevent the spread of HIV from drug users who sold sex to fund their habits onto their clients. Despite these less than salubrious places being the cause of much local gossip and a contesting issue for the police, the council and the government, we are going to step inside one of Edinburgh's commercial sex venues and see for ourselves what it's like inside a brothel. Stepping inside the building, I'm struck by the smell of cigarettes and bleach. The air in here feels a lot thicker than it did outside. And I can see, even though it's quite dark in here, that there's a selection of torture equipment lined up along the walls. And in the middle of the room, there's a strange-looking massage table. Standing amidst this menagerie of sex is Sarah, a 23-year-old sex worker from Edinburgh. Sarah would only speak to us on the promise of anonymity, so as a result, her voice has been edited to make her unidentifiable. Sarah, what led you into doing this kind of work?
Well, when I was 21, I found myself living in a city a long way away from home. I just finished university and I really didn't really have anywhere to go and I had no real job prospect. I was suffering a lot from mental health. I had really bad physical health and I didn't have the ability to work a traditional job. So as a result, what I did was I walked into one of the local brothels and I kind of just signed up for my first shift.
Do you feel safe at work?
I mean, I've had a couple of bad experiences and a couple of bad clients, but on the whole, I mean, I don't feel like I'm walking into any imminent danger when I turn up at work. But I mean, well, sometimes if there's a bad client, I definitely feel like there's no way for me to make amends for the problem. I can't go to the police because obviously these premises, while kind of tolerated, are also like deeply not tolerated if the police have their like faces rubbed in it. So I often have to deal with like dangerous people or potentially dangerous people by myself, which can be quite challenging.
So that was a very interesting day. Not only have I seen a lot of very interesting things, I've also really learned that the stigma that these people face and the way that we talk about them in society has really influenced my opinion on them. At the end of the day, they're just people and they're just doing a job.
And lastly, for the weather and travel. The capital has been battered by heavy rain and persistent winds since yesterday. The Met Office yellow weather warning that was issued at 3 a.m. last night runs for another 45 minutes, and 21 flood warnings have been issued for Scotland. Rain is persisting, but due to ease off this evening, with high winds remaining. And for the traffic, following this extreme weather, flooding has been reported in the Cowgate, Morrison Street and Cram and Brig areas, with severe flooding reported on Sawton Road North, so drivers are being urged to take care approaching these areas. On the M8 westbound, drivers are urged to use caution between junctions 17 and 19 due to flooding. And that's all for today on Radio Energy. I've been Gemma Stroyan. Stay safe and dry.
Hear it. Feel it. Listen again at www.radioenrg.net.